Morning. When I was going into high school, people told me that I should play a fall sport to make friends. I decided to try out for the field hockey team since I had played it in middle school. I made the junior varsity team and was ready to start my first year at Maggie L. Walker Governor's School. The transition from middle to high school was fairly smooth, but field hockey was hard and time-consuming. It was hard to keep up in the running and goalkeeping skill drills. When the season ended, I did not really know what to do. I did not know the other girls really well, and I no longer had an activity to keep me busy in the afternoons. By the time field hockey ended, I did not regret it, but it was too late to join most other after-school activities, especially when I did not make the basketball team, which was the only other sport I played. For a while, I drifted between friend groups until I made my way back to the group with my best friend from elementary school and some of her new theater friends. We ate lunch under the high-end stairwell, and I slowly began to feel comfortable with everyone in the group. When sophomore year began, I told the coach that I was not going to play field hockey that year and auditioned for the fall play, Julius Caesar, by William Shakespeare. Through the rehearsal process, I met so many people from every grade and made so many close friends that I still have today. I did not get into the spring musical that year, but I was able to strengthen my stairwell friendships as well as some of the ones from the show. Junior year, things really picked up. I helped with lighting and props for both the spring and fall shows, as well as performed in my first musical that spring, Spamalot. That year, I also continued my involvement in the Shakespeare Club, which I had joined the year before. With every day that passed, I strengthened my friendships with everyone who was involved in the show, as well as some new friends who had joined our stairwell crew. This year, I was in the fall show, Hamlet, and the spring musical, Sweet Charity. Again, I worked on lighting and props for both shows. In the past few months, I have adapted, written, cast, and directed a one-act play for a one-acts festival at my school. It was an adaptation of The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe, in which I included Poe himself as a character. This experience was so meaningful and moving that I would not change it for the world, and it has brought me to consider a minor in arts management next year. That is not what I thought I would end up doing when I first stepped into the field hockey goalie suit at the beginning of my freshman year. And who knows what new avenues God will open for me in the future. In the psalm reading this morning, it tells us, "You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up for joy." Another version states, "You changed wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wild flowers." This scripture tells us that God brings us fresh new options when we need it, whether we know it or not. He makes it easier to have fun in something that is accessible to us that we did not even know existed. He makes it easier to move out of a rut and bring us into a better state of mind and action where we can embrace and accept new opportunities. Until I visited the University of Mary Washington about a year ago, I had always planned on going to William and Mary. The more I visited Mary Washington, the more I fell in love and felt as if that was where I belonged. It is not what I planned, but when I accepted their offer of admission, I felt more relaxed than I had in a long time. God brought Mary Washington into my life, slowly, through friends, counselors, and parents of friends, and I'm so glad he did. I'm sure all of us have had this experience of joy brought from an unexpected source, whether it be a friend or a stranger, a random flyer or advertisement that catches our eye, or a random story or class that reaches your ear. For me, it was the transition from sports to theater and from one college to another. For some, it may be the transition from one job to another, or a class they happen to take in college. For others, it may be a new love interest, or a friend, or maybe a new family member, or a new colleague at work. One way to start a new dance is to volunteer somewhere new. When I started working with the sewing circle at Crossover Clinic 2 summers ago, I did not know what to expect. Now, I cannot imagine my life without it. It is my favorite part of the week. When it is in session, I get to practice my Spanish outside of class, and I have gotten to know other church members as well as the ladies who attend so well, and they are all very important parts of my life now. Even if I do end up spending some time on the floor plugging in and unplugging the sewing machines. Good people and opportunities can be found in the most unexpected places. But when God brings them to your notice in school, work, family, or volunteer services, they can bring joy, dance, and so much more into your life. Try one activity, job, friend group, school choice, or summer plan. If that does not work, go back and try something new that caught your eye a couple of days or months ago. It may change your life for the better. I want us to all look for the small opportunities, a person asking for help, a new volunteer opportunity, or unexpected job offer. God will work through them to make your life feel renewed and more enjoyable. Accept this help just as you offer your aid to others. If we can accept these dances and wildflowers, we can bring new light into our own lives as well as into the lives of those we meet along the way. Amen.
Good morning. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. These are the words of Psalm 30, verse 5. I had a hard time choosing my words for my sermon. Then I kept reading and reading and reading some more and realized two things. I have now memorized this verse, and I can relate to it. Let me tell you a little bit more about who I am. I haven't had the greatest childhood. I was abused at a young age from someone I really trusted, which kind of forced me to grow up a little bit faster than I should have. I'm okay with telling people this now, but only after 2 years of counseling and being told, we need you to tell us how you feel, and we need you to tell us what happened in order for us to help you. It's my counselor voice. One of the first people I told after counseling was my brother Robbie. Robbie and I have never been really close, mostly because we're 8 years apart in age, but at the same time, I was pretty unsure if I could talk to anyone else. So I told him. And after that day, I kind of realized something about the car ride, which when it happened. While I was telling Robbie, it felt kind of like there was someone else in the car with us, other than his girlfriend Mimi, but I felt like I was telling God at the same time, Like, he was sitting right next to the car, right next to me in the car, telling me, you're all right. Nothing is your fault, and you're going to be okay. I felt kind of a calmness, which meant that I would now have the support to get on with healing. After a little while, I started this jar where I'd put a note in and say a bad thing that happened that day or a bad thought I had during the day. At the end of each week, I would open the jar and just sit and talk with God for a minute. I'd never reopen the notes, but I'd throw them away after I sat and thought about why I wished to get rid of these thoughts. After doing this for some time, the jar began to come empty. And sure, there are little notes in there sometimes, but almost all of the time, there's none. I'd finally started to get back to my goofy, happy, and sometimes annoyingly loud self. Only then did I begin to stop putting my worries into God's hands, into the one who would help me become me again. I think mostly my mom and my grandparents were probably there the most, but there were also people in the church that probably never even knew, like Chester and Margaret, for example. This morning I went and I sat with them for a minute. I don't think they knew why, but it helped. While I was writing my sermon, I was sitting in my bed at 11:30 on a school night, and it hit me. I could not be successful in this if I didn't fully believe in myself. Everyone has struggles they face head on and struggles they refuse to face. You can only begin to face those struggles and begin your healing process when you place your faith and trust in God. Everyone in this building is going through some type of struggle, whether they say it or not. It may be a struggle in friendship, relationships, school, or in sports. But some have come to realize that God is always with us every day while we struggle, helping us to find our way out of the struggle. Thankfully, no matter where we are in the life, God is with us, walking alongside and never leaving us alone. Again, joy comes with the morning. This morning, I found a new joy within myself, and I sincerely hope that something this morning has brought joy to you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you all could be here today. During my freshman year of high school, my grandmother was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in her superior vena cava, a major vein that carries blood from the upper body to the heart. Thankfully, after chemotherapy and radiation, she made a full recovery and is doing wonderfully. At the time, though, her illness made me angry. She had done nothing to deserve the pain she was suffering. I was particularly upset with God. I cannot understand how he could inflict this kind of damage on someone he was supposed to care about. In the end, another member of this church helped me work through these feelings. God's plan, he reminded me, extended beyond the concerns of this world. My anger was mine alone. It emanated from my own mortal fears and inadequacies. And while Michael Kellett is not in attendance today, I suspect he understands how much I appreciated his guidance. Everyone experiences events that change their lives for the worse. A beloved pet passes away. A job opportunity is lost. A family member is diagnosed with an illness. For those who have weathered these events without having your faith shaken, I commend you. In the New Testament lesson today, we come across this horribly mean and angry person named Saul. When Saul is on his way to persecute disciples in Damascus, Jesus rains down on him in the form of a bright, blinding light. For 3 days, Saul is in the dark. Then finally, God sends Ananias, a guide, to help Saul through his recovery and remove the scales from his eyes. As most of us know, after this transformation, Saul becomes Paul and goes on to spread God's word to many groups of people. While I hope I'm not as bad as Saul, I can relate to him. Too often, I am blind to the goodness around me. Sometimes I need friends, like Michael Kellett and others at River Road, to serve as my Ananias. They remind me of God's work in this world and beyond. They help me find my inner Paul and continue along the road in service to God's greater message. That service is not just theoretical. As my grandmother's condition improved, I became more and more impressed with the works of the doctors and nurses who had saved her. I came to see oncology as one of those roads that God might inspire a person to walk. After some research, I applied for an internship, and this year spent 3 days a week after school making rounds with doctors at the Sarah Cannon Cancer Institute, the same network that had served my grandmother. I helped conduct patient interviews and examinations. The doctors trained me to recognize various types of cancer cells under the microscope. Sometimes, I even offered diagnoses. On one of my last days at the office, I surprised my mentor by volunteering that one of his patients could not take chemotherapy because her white blood cell count was too low. He reviewed the patient's charts and told the nurse I made the correct assessment. This internship cemented my plan to study biology when I enter the University of Richmond next year, with the eventual goal of attending medical school. I realize there is something of a contradiction here. God is more concerned with our spiritual lives than our physical ones, so maybe oncology is not Paul's path. In response, I can only say that there were days when the doctors with whom I worked with were more than mechanics for the human body. Often they had to deliver the worst news that a patient had ever heard. They had to provide hope in even the most dire circumstances. Some days they survived on caffeine and adrenaline and the simple faith that they were doing good in the world. My time with them shaped me into a different person. As with Saul and Ananias, it inspired me onto a new, if difficult, path. God does not always come in a bright light. The inspiration he offers is not always sudden. Sometimes he makes his presence known through the people who surround us on a daily basis, in good times and bad. In this way, our mortal and spiritual lives meet. We follow God by recognizing what is best in each other. We follow God by using trials to set us on a better path. We follow God by becoming guides for others, embodying his love in our words and actions. That should have been the end of my sermon, but I cannot leave today without saying thank you to this church. There's so many of you who have impacted my life and led me to where I am today. So whether you are my Moses or my Paul, my Ananias or my Isaac, or simply a fellow guest at the table, I am truly grateful. I will never get another chance to make this statement in exactly this way. So thank you, church, for being my guide and friend these last 14 years. I've enjoyed growing up here and being a part of this wonderful congregation. And thank you especially to the youth group for giving me a loving place of refuge. I will always cherish our time together, our morning walks, our 2 a.m. adventures, our constant hugs. I cannot wait for the spectacular things you will do in the future. Amen.